Transform your life today. Welcome to Super Coach with Michael Neal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Welcome to the show. We're going to be talking about how simple can it be? And I'm definitely making it very complicated right now, even trying to make this all work. But if you want to talk to us live on air, the numbers to call are toll free, 866-254-1579. That's 866-254-1579. And you'll be able to phone in, listen to the show while you're on hold. But just before I go to the phones, I always like to set the table a little bit. You know, if we're going to have lunch together or tea or dinner or whatever time of day it is for you, let's start by just seeing what's on the menu. So for me, one of my favorite musicals when I was a kid was called How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. And I used to watch the movie with a guy named Robert Morse, who's a brilliant actor. He's on Mad Men now. And I just loved the idea. It was the show, it basically followed the story of this young window cleaner. And he gets this book on how to become president of a major corporation and marry the girl of his dreams, armed with nothing but self-belief, quick wits, and the grin of impetuous youth. And I thought the best thing in the world that could possibly happen to me would be to find a real-life copy of that book. I had no idea the movie was satirical. I was, you know, I was a kid. It was like, this would be great. And when I first began playing with the ideas of, well, how do you make things easy? How simple can you let things be? How do you succeed without really trying? I actually found out you actually can do it. But the weird thing is, when you let things be simple, it at first leaves you without any sense of accomplishment when these things come into your life because you didn't suffer for them. You didn't struggle. And it's like a lottery winners. We all know the stories about lottery winners who make all this money and then lose it again within a few years and their lives fall apart. And there's a tendency. It's not the way things have to be, but there is a tendency that when things come too easily, when things get too simple, we hold them too lightly. And we buy into sort of this cultural mythology that says, well, the unearned victory doesn't count. You know, easy come, easy go. And so then we kind of either try desperately to hang on to what we got that came so easily instead of thinking, well, if that was that simple, maybe I could just get more stuff equally simply. Or we kind of want to get rid of it as quickly as we can because we didn't earn that. And there's actually a name for that. The first Dave Stewart from the Eurythmics was the first guy who was diagnosed with Paradise Syndrome, which described the stress that comes for a lot of people when you're waiting for tragedy strike because things are so good. Because after all, people aren't supposed to have it this good. And there's a sort of a strain that comes from, you know, when are people going to realize that you're a total fraud? You don't belong where you are. You didn't work hard to get there. You don't deserve it. And it's a funny thing. But one of the main reasons, I would say even the main reasons that we don't let things be simple, that we don't let it be easy, is because we're afraid that we won't deserve what we get. And there are three kind of main ways that we do that. And I'll talk to you about those in a minute. If you want to call in, numbers to call 866-254-1579. It's toll free. Or from outside the United States, you can reach the show on 760-918-4300. And three main ways we discount our success. Well, but I didn't do anything. It was too simple. And I remember being congratulated by someone when my sister got married. And I actually... This was not, like, cool. Don't copy me, kids. But you know, I remember saying to this person who congratulated me at my sister's wedding, what are you congratulating me for? I didn't have anything to do with it. And that's the way that a lot of us feel about the success that comes easy and the things that we are able to handle simply. It's like, what are you congratulating us for? We didn't have anything to do with it. It was simple. But actually, there's a great joy in that simplicity because the simpler you allow it to be, the more of it you can create and the more of it you can have. Because you're not taking on more stress and more hard work just to have more stuff. Second way that we can discount it, disown it, and hide from it is to say, but I don't know how I did it. And again, one of my favorite stories, you know, you can tell I grew up theatrically, can't you? It was about Laurence Olivier. And he did this amazing performance of Othello. And one night he was apparently amazing. And he was found by Maggie Smith, who's playing Desdemona. She found him storming around his dressing room and throwing things in anger after this performance. And she said, but Larry, what's wrong? That's the best it's ever been. And Olivier replied, I know, but I don't know how I did it. And that's part of the myth of the experts. The idea that just because someone succeeded at something, they know how to help others to succeed. And the reality is, in most cases, not only do successful people not know how they got there, they're afraid to even look because they think, oh, if I become conscious of it, it's going to jinx it. It's going to break it. The batteries will run out quicker. And that reluctance, or sometimes maybe it's an inability, but that reluctance to learn from success sometimes leaves you with no idea of how you've come to be where you are. And that unwillingness to look can get in the way of seeing the simplicity. And then the third way that people do it is just to kind of go, we're not worthy, we're not worthy. And I remember being at a dinner party and was talking to this woman, and the subject of children came up. And I asked, you know, if she and her husband were planning on having children. She said, oh, no, I wouldn't want to push our luck. And I was like, what? She said, well, we already have a wonderful marriage and a great home and a very successful business and a terrific life. I'm sure if we had a child, he'd come out hideously deformed. Now, that's probably an extreme, but there are millions of healthy, prosperous people, and you might be one of them, sitting around waiting for the other shoe to drop, for the universe to suddenly notice how good your life is and kick you out of paradise and send you back down to earth with a bump. And that feeling of unworthiness that can come from letting things be simple, letting them be easy, letting them be fun, is really the main obstacle to letting things be simple, easy, and fun. So let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Lori in Indiana. Lori, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Thanks for taking my call. I just have been seeing this pattern of not taking responsibility for manifesting what it is I truly want, and I just had like a dream kind of fall in my lap of being an advisor, talking on the phone, being an advisor, and I violated a rule and I was thrown off. And I'm kind of like looking at how it is that this blessing came to me and somehow I managed to push it away. And I'm just trying to figure out why I get in my own way of success. I know I've had a lot of conscious teachers show up and I have a lot of skills, and I don't know how to bring what I want to me, or I get in the way. I act like a child and don't take responsibility. So I like what you're talking about by way of simplicity, because I'm thinking I need to lighten up and just relax.
Well, that would be a great start, if only because then you'd feel lighter. I mean, it's like worst case, you'd feel better. Best case, you'd feel better and get more stuff. So it's a pretty good approach. Now, I want to go back to what you said. I've seen a pattern of not taking responsibility for manifesting what I want. So that's like three levels removed from doing something. You know, you're seeing, you're observing, and you're observing a lack of action. For when people talk about manifesting what they want, often, and I'm not saying this is so for you, but often there's an element of, because I can't just create it. I need to manifest it. I need to somehow apparate it, bring it out of the ethers, because I can't do stuff that will cause it to come into being. And that position actually puts you into the victim role, because you become the victim of the universe. Well, the universe decided not to give it to me. Now, you don't control the universe, unless you do. I mean, do you?
No.
No, okay, I don't either, but I just thought, I don't know, I'm always waiting for the caller who says, yes, I do, and I'm going, okay, well, can you give me some stuff? Because there's some stuff I've been waiting on. But the point is that there's usually some simple things that we can do that will begin to bring what we want into being, that will actually allow us to create it, not sort of manifest it over there. So let me ask you a question about this thing. First off, this opportunity that came to you, is it done, or did you just get kicked off? In other words, were you excommunicated and are no longer able to communicate with these people, or did it happen and, you know, where things stand right now is you're not able to do it?
Well, they said I was, my account was removed, and I've since emailed trying to get them to switch their position by assuring them that you know, the rules will be strictly honored and followed. So I haven't heard back yet.
Okay. So are they, is there anything, this sounds really daft, but we're talking about simple. Is there anything like a phone number?
They only allow communication through email on regulations.
Okay. So again, I don't know about this, and there may be some reason that that's actually true here. But the question is, like, I started out as an actor, and the rule is that every actor knows is, you know, every casting director, every agent has a thing, no calls. Well, I would say 8 out of 10 people that actually get the job called.
Well, I called, and they told me that it had to be.
Okay. So so great. So you tried it. That wasn't an opening. That's fine. So I just wanted to check that. Now let's take a step back and let's look at this pattern, because I don't believe in self-sabotage. I don't believe that's what happens. Mm-hmm. I think what can sometimes happen is you're not paying attention and you miss an opportunity. You're not paying attention. So when there is a chance to do something, you miss it because you just weren't paying attention. I don't think that's indicative of some sort of problem. It's just you were paying attention to something else. So what's something for you, and this is going to be like an experiment, Laurie, what's something for you that you would like to create in your life?
Coaching or, you know, mentoring.
You want that for yourself, or you want to create that for other people?
Oh, what would I like to create in my life?
Yeah.
Oh, work that I'm passionate about, and
okay. Well, let's start with that.
Okay.
Right. Let's, you know, work that I'm passionate about. So there's two things. There's two parts to that. There's work, and there's passion. So what if you could wave your magic wand and just take on any type of work? What would you do?
I think coaching.
Okay. So it would be something to do with coaching, or you think it would be something to do with coaching, which is fine. You don't have to know, but it lets you know where to start. So if you had already made a commitment to become an amazing coach, I'm not saying you have to do that, but let's say you had already done that. If you'd done that, what would you be doing today and tomorrow to begin that journey?
Reading about coaching.
Okay, and do you already have the books there to read, or would you have to go get them?
Getting them.
Okay, and would you go to a bookshop or go on Amazon?
Probably Amazon and the library.
Okay, fantastic. So here's how you create work that you're passionate about. You go on Amazon and you go to the library. That's it. That's how simple it is. All you ever need is a clear target. In this case, okay, I want to become an amazing coach. I'm assuming you want to become an amazing coach, not a crap one.
Right.
Yeah, well, fair, you know. I thought it was a safe assumption, but I thought I'd check. So, okay, I want to become an amazing coach. I'm committed to becoming an amazing coach. And then look at reality. Where am I? What's next? What's the next step? Well, the next step, okay, I need to get books. And in order to do that, I need to go on Amazon, maybe type in coaching, maybe get a copy of Supercoach by Michael Neal. But, you know, and I need to go to the library and see what there is. That is all you ever need to do. Tomorrow when you wake up and you review your commitments and what you want to create in your life and you go, oh, I'm committed to becoming an amazing coach, a super coach. And there will be another next step. And all you ever have to do, this is the simple bit, all you have to ever will have to take is the next step.
So that's the wise way to deal with change and resistance, is just the little baby steps that I can.
Well, and the thing is, sure, but the next step, some days the next step might be bigger.
Right.
But it's still only the next step. And what makes it complicated is we think we have to figure it all out in advance. We have to know what the 15th step is and the 34th step, or we can see that 76 steps from now, there's something that looks like the Grand Canyon, and how the heck are we going to get across that? But the reality is, by the time you're at the Grand Canyon, it won't look so grand. Because you will have become so much more and so much bigger. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So, Lori, that's your mission, should you choose to accept it. Today, to create the newest supercoach, Lori from Indiana, go to the library.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lori.
Thanks. Bye.
And, you know, that's the thing. It really is that simple. There's always just the next step. We're going to take more of your calls. We got Margaret, Donna, Maureen, Nancy, and maybe you coming up after the break. And I told you I was having trouble today. Apparently, I'm completely wrong because the clock I'm looking at has nothing to do with reality. So let's go to Margaret now. Margaret in Phoenix, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi, Margaret. Hi, Michael. You know, I've been
don't call me Margaret.
Oh, dear. Nerves. You know, I've been experiencing a lot of internal turmoil regarding my property values and taxes. And it seems like I've got a substandard structure, and I keep dealing with the county assessor who now has denied my appeal for a lower valuation going to the board. And it seems like they are telling me that every 2 years I'm going to have to keep doing this. And it's such a stress to keep revisiting this substandard structure every 2 years. And I was wondering, do you feel that I will be successful at the state board? And is there any way in the world to try to convince these people that I don't have to keep coming back every 2 years?
So here's what I do know, here's what I don't know. I know that if you decide that there's no way, you will be proved right. Right? I mean, that just makes sense. If you decide there's no point, then you won't do anything. And because you haven't done anything, nothing will change. And so that will be the way that it is. So I know that. Second thing I know is that generally speaking, there's always a way. And it's a case of, is it worth to me the time, energy, and creativity that it might take me to find that way in order to create the result that I want? So up until now, what have you tried that hasn't worked?
I have contacted structural engineers. I have gone to the property comparables that they have given me. And I've talked to contractors about rectification, and it seems like because the structure is so deficient from the bottom all the way up to the roof that it's not worth a monetary investment to try to rectify it.
Okay. So what is it that you're trying to convince them of?
That they should lower the property value based on the standard structure, and that it isn't worth fixing.
Okay, great. So again, we're talking about simple today. So there's probably a lot of very clever, complicated ways that you could go about this. But if I wanted to approach this as simply as possible, what I would be looking for is who knows about this that I can ask. In other words, who has done this kind of thing before? And if I have no idea, I'd probably just start online and just start typing in and start looking for, okay, somebody must have done this before. This isn't this is something that has to be relevant to more people than just me. It's not that unique a situation.
Well, they're recommending to just the contractors and the engineer is recommending just bulldoze it and start over.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you want to do that?
No, because I figure I'm going to live here 20 more years as long as it stands.
Okay, so in that case, that would be wonderful advice for someone else but it has nothing to do with what you want. Because what you want is you want to stay in the structure. You just want to pay less tax on it. Is that correct? Okay.
Yes.
Well, so again, let's just keep it really simple. So instead of asking the contractors who know about building and destroying, and guess who gets to rebuild it if you bulldoze it, by the way.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Here.
Look for other people who have managed to do it. Now, I'll tell you the first three places I would look. And this is all I'm going to do. Because again, we don't have to solve this on the radio. We just have to take our next step.
Okay.
So the three things I would do, not saying you have to do them. First thing I would do is I would actually find someone on the tax board that I had at least a little bit of a relationship with through our communications.
Okay.
And I would actually ask them, do you know of anyone who has successfully done what I'm trying to do? Because chances are they do. And chances are they can connect you to that person. Because they're not really there to stop you. They just don't want to, you know, it needs to be presented to them in a way where they can rubber stamp it without putting themselves on the line.
Okay.
Second place I would look is I would look online and I would type in, you know, convince tax board to lower property value. And I would expect to find a bunch of really useless articles that complained a lot and one or two that had some really good ideas in them. And then the third thing I would do is I would start speaking it into my community, not as a complaint. Oh, God, the tax board, can you believe they've done this? But, yeah, what are you up to, Margaret? Well, you know, I'm really trying to convince the tax board to lower my property tax, and I'm just kind of stuck with it. Do you have any ideas? And a lot of them will say, no. And some of them will say, well, have you tried this? Well, have you tried that? And one or two of those ideas is all you need to take the next step. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
That's it. That's how simple it can be. You know, worst case is absolutely no worse than where you are right now.
Right.
Best case is you might simply and easily find a quick solution.
Okay.
Now, was that an okay, like you're going to go do it, or was that an okay, I better get off the air now?
No. I think that all three of the suggestions are very useful, and I will, you know, instead of pounding into the hole in the hole straight down with the structural engineer and the contractors, I think it's time to go pound in another hole.
Brilliant. Fantastic stuff, Margaret. Please do when you get somewhere with it, call us back. Let us know how it goes.
All right. Thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you, Margaret. And look, again, I know somebody's out there going, well, that's just too simple. I mean, I've dealt with these people, and well, first off, we want it to be simple. In fact, we want to see how simple it can be. Secondly, if you start deciding what you're going to be able to do in the future based on what you've been able to do in the past, you're screwed before you even start. Because every time you put the past into the future, you fill up the space. You can't do that. If you have two file folders and one of them is marked past and one of them is marked future, and you put all your stories from the past into the one marked future, there's no room for you to create a new future there. There's no space for you to create into. So don't worry about that story of what happened and how it is and what you know and what Cousin Bob told you and what Aunt Angela told you. Just get really clear, okay, this is what I want to create. This is where I am in relation to it. What's next? That's all I need to know. I don't need to predict the future if I'm creating it. I would only need to predict the future if I think the future's already written. And if the future's already written, you may as well chill out and have a beer. I mean, you may as well sit on your back porch, open up a beer or a Bartles and James or whatever it is, a cup of iced tea, and just enjoy the day. Because if the future's already written, you don't need to do anything. You can let it be even simpler. But if you want to create the future, and you can, well, then all you need to do is go, I'm going that way. What's next? Okay, I think this time we're actually going to take a real break. And so if you want to get in the second half, the numbers to call, 866- 254-1579, 866-254-1579 in the U.S. and Canada, or from outside the United States, 760-918-4300. We will be back with more of your calls and more thoughts on how simple can it be right after this.
Real strategies for real change. This is Supercoach with Michael Neal.
We are back. We're talking about how simple can it be. I was thinking during the break, those of you who are members of the Hay House Radio Archives, which you can join through Hay House Radio, or the Solutions Cafe at geniuscatalyst.com, go through the archives and find the show we did about a month and a half ago with Gay Hendricks called The Big Leap. And you might want to listen to that as well, because we talked a lot. Gay is quite brilliant at that whole how do you let it be easy thing, and there's some good stuff in there. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Nancy in Chicago. Nancy, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi, Michael. Thanks for taking my call.
You are welcome.
My issue is I'm in sales, and I'm having issues with money right now. And I've kind of been on a spiritual journey, too, and as a result, I've been reading a lot of books by Mike Dooley, Bob Proctor, Jill Vitale, you know, a lot of authors on Hay House. I just ordered your book last week, and I've noticed changes for the better in my sales. I've done very well, but then I seem to fall back where I have money issues again, and it's kind of the seesaw thing going on with me, and I just wondered if there were any clearing exercises you could recommend.
There might be. And I want to check a couple of things, because normally, in that case, what needs to change is something more to do with process than thought. In other words, if you are able to create the results some months and not creating the results others,
there's that's usually exactly what's happening.
Right. There's usually something different in what you're doing in the months that work than in the months that don't. Or it might be the month or two before, depending on the lead time in your sales cycle. So are you aware, if you think about it now, are you aware of anything that you do differently, that you a way that may be different in how you show up or in what you actually do, in how you engage in the process of creating sales in those months where you aren't getting the results than in the months where you are?
Wow. You know what? You're right. I haven't, the months where I'm not, I really don't feel like the fire and the passion that I did in the months that my sales were up.
Okay. Now, when you're not feeling the fire and the passion, and this is the two different ways that salespeople do it, are you actually making less calls, having less conversations, or are you just having those conversations from a less impassioned place?
I would say less calls, less activity. I'm in investment sales, so this market has really affected us a lot, and it affected me too emotionally because I was getting screamed at by clients almost every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just, you know, that. I mean, look, I mean, I love being positive, but somebody punches me in the stomach, I'm going to say ouch.
Right.
So, okay. So understand that the reason that your sales are going down in those months is not because you're thinking negative thoughts. Mm-hmm. It's not because you're feeling negative feelings. It's because you're not having the conversations.
Okay.
Having said that, I'm not suggesting that, so just, you know, feel the pain and do it anyways. That would be the hard way. Not a big fan of the hard way. It can work up to a point, but it's not my favorite thing because it's hard. Mm-hmm. Now, you can do hard. I'm not saying you have to not do something that's hard. But if we're looking at this from a really simple point of view, in those months where you're finding yourself, oh, I can feel it coming. I'm beginning to kind of think this way. I'm beginning to kind of talk myself out of it. I'm beginning to tell myself the story about how there's no point and it's awful and I don't want to make this call because they're just going to yell at me. That's a great time to create a new game.
Okay.
So instead of the game being how many sales can I make, or, you know, how many conversations can I have either? That's a great time to go, okay, I'm going to try a different game today. I'm going to play the how long does it take before I get a smile game. And that becomes my only goal And if I'm on the phone, it's, you know, I can hear the smile. Mm-hmm. It might be, okay, do you know what? Today, I'm going to, because I'm feeling low today, I'm going to deliberately just pick, I'm going to pick the easiest ones. I'm going to pick the ones that just seem like the most friendly. Or what some people like to do is on the days where they're feeling crappy, they take the ones that they think aren't going to work anyways. Because, like, let's get those over with. Because nothing's going to work today anyway, so let's get those people over with. And, of course, the funny thing is that you'll find that when you get into conversation, very often you get to be surprised. If you create space to be surprised, and the only way you do that is by actually getting into the conversation, then you will be surprised. If you don't create the opening for surprise, in other words, you just don't pick up the phone or you don't show up for a meeting, well, then you can't be surprised.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
And it sounds kind of weird, but in sales and anything to do with asking people for what you want, there's almost nothing more fun than being wrong. So is that something you'd be up for playing with?
Oh, absolutely. That's great advice. That's great advice. And my managers, this is the odd thing. When I was doing all of this positive thinking and feeling better about myself, I work in a situation where I get referrals from my coworkers on the team. Mm-hmm. And my numbers, my sales numbers were through the roof. And then we went through this bear market, and my manager is like, oh, you got to call people. You got to hit the phones. You got to dial for dollars. And then I'm doing that, and my numbers are going down because I don't like doing that.
Mm-hmm. So the other part of that then is to get creative. The reason sales managers do that is because they know the statistics are annoyingly consistent. More mm-hmm. calls equals more money.
Right.
However, that's not to say that there aren't more creative ways of you finding joy in the calls and of you going maybe to, and again, I don't know the market, so some of these strategies aren't perfect for this market, but of, excuse me, connecting to people who you've already got relationship with mm-hmm. and doing more referral marketing in that way.
Okay.
There's no rule, unless there is one, but there's no rule that says you have to do it the right way. In fact, I usually tell people there are three ways to do anything. There's the right way, the wrong way, and your way.
Okay.
And your way is usually the really fun one.
Wow, that's really great advice. Thank you.
So go forth, be happy, make money, and call back anytime.
I will. Thank you, Michael. Have a good day.
Thank you, Nancy.
Bye.
I mean, that's just one of those things that's that's true for all of us. Is if we get caught up in thinking, oh, I've got to change my thinking, I've got to change my feelings, I've got to do that, that often takes more work than changing your behavior. Not always, but often. And sometimes, often, it's a very simple shift in your behavior and what you're doing, or your attitude, how you're approaching something, that will make all the difference that needs to be made. So with that in mind, let's go to Terry in North Carolina. Terry, welcome to the show. What can I do for you?
Hi. I'm actually calling in response to the comment you made just before the break where you said you can't predict the future, or you can run into trouble if you try to predict the future based on the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually doing the 30-day Creating the Impossible. I'm doing that program with you and I guess some 500 other folk. And I had a major setback yesterday, not in my 30-day thing. This mm-hmm. is a goal, or this is a dream. This is actually a dream, what I call a calling. And I'm in a space of, you know, negativity today. So when you said what you said, it kind of, you know, it makes complete sense. And I guess I've been doing that. It's like I've been, based on the experience that I had yesterday, which didn't go the way that I wanted or had expected, I'm thinking, okay, well, you know, this thing may indeed not work.
Mm-hmm. And again, it's not that you're not allowed to have the thought. Mm-hmm. The thought will come. But if you're not playing the game of trying to figure it out ahead of time, which is the game that so many of us play when we're trying to create something, is, well, I don't want to waste time, so I'm going to just sort of get psychic or talk to a psychic or, you know, pretend to be psychic, and I'm going to predict this. I think the chances of this working are only 30%, so I'm not going to do it. Ooh, this has a 70% chance of succeeding, so I'm going to do that. But what we don't notice while we're doing that is the thing that has a 70% chance of succeeding, we're not very interested in. And the thing that only has the 30% chance of succeeding, boy, even if it's only got a 30% chance, if that worked, that would be everything to me. And actually, I want to put my energy not into what I think is going to work, but into what would make the biggest difference if it did. Because I can't know what's going to work unless I've pre-decided. And in pre-deciding, I either don't take any action at all, or I take whatever action I take with such there's no point in doing this kind of an approach that energy goes out before me and just repels people.
I'm in a place of fear. It's like, oh my God, I can't believe that happened yesterday. I thought the response would have been different. And I actually already, before I left, I said, look, you know, I'm very persistent. Can I come back next month? And she said, well, actually, I can get you far more people, you know, in a larger meeting that we have, but it doesn't resume until September after the summer. I said, okay, great. You know, I'm there. But now I'm thinking, okay, you're crazy. I mean, if four people weren't excited and enthusiastic about what you're presenting, what do you think that's going to be like multiplied by probably about 10 and a half? And even as I just said those words to you, I know that the reverse could be true. I could very easily be saying that was only four people, you know, that was only four parents. Just think what could happen when you have those numbers multiplied.
I love it when my clients do my work for me.
You know, and it happens in a split second. So, I mean, because you know, I know your show comes on and I wasn't going to call you, but, you know, but when you said that, it's like, I'm doing your 30-day and my creating the impossible. This, what I'm talking about now is really, it's a calling, it's a passion, it's a lifelong dream. I actually started putting this into motion a year ago, the creating the impossible. I actually chose something that, you know, that I thought I couldn't do because those were your instructions, and I was confused by that until I stopped being confused. And I'm actually struggling with that, but I'm not beating myself up because of, you know, what you say every day. And I actually took a day off. I didn't do it on the day you said because I'm like, okay, he's crazy. He didn't give me any forewarning. I'm already behind. But I took Monday off. I want you to know. But so, yeah, you're right. I just kind of talked myself into, well, yeah, that was just four people. When I'm in a room, when I'm in front of 60 people, just think of what the possibilities could be for maybe getting 10 of those people.
Absolutely.
You know,
and here's the thing, Terry. All you need to do is know that when you're in a crappy mindset, everything's going to look like crap.
Yeah.
And so don't look until you're in a better mindset.
Okay, you're right.
That's
yes,
all.
I should have taken today off from even thinking about it, but I've been doing the opposite.
It sounds like you've made the shift and that Burlington, North Carolina is no longer a place of fear.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for phoning in.
Okay.
You know, again, as with all these things, we all do this. We look at something through the eyes of our mood. You know, something happens, we kind of slip into a bit of a bad mood, we get some sort of, oh God, this isn't going to work. And then we think, oh, now would be a good time to look at everything in my life. And suddenly nothing in our life works. Well, it's not you. It's that you've got, you know, these, you know, there's a joke in I used to do a radio comedy called Satellite City in Wales. And there was this great line about, you know, that, you know, some people look at the world through rose-colored glasses. I look at it through welder's goggles and everything looks black. And, you know, it's just true. When you're in that mood, when you're in that state of mind, everything will look black. But it's not to do with the world. It's to do with the lens that you've got in front of your eyes. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Isabel in L.A. Isabel, welcome to the show. And
hey,
what can I do for you today?
Hi, Michael. Thank you so much for taking my call. Great, great coaching, by the way.
Thank you.
Well, I'm currently in L.A., but I'm in the midst of packing and moving to Las Vegas. In the past year or so, it's been, in terms of finding work, no, for me. Everyone's talking about sending out resumes and not even hearing back. So I guess part of me is hoping that a different city will provide different results. I'm trying to stay positive. I'm trying to be very optimistic. But I'm also looking at the reality of the situation and seeing funds just dwindle.
Okay, so let me ask you a question before we go any further.
Okay.
Okay. What do you want?
I'd like income sources.
Okay, great. So you want income sources.
Mm-hmm.
All right, perfect. So what would be your income source of choice? Do you have something that you would love to do, or are you pretty much just, you know what, I don't want to do anything unpleasant, but...
let's see. Office setting would be amazing. If it has to do with corporate communications, that would be great.
Okay. So office setting, something to do with corporate communications. Mm-hmm. Okay. And what do you like about an office setting?
Well, since it will be in Vegas, the fact that it's air conditioned would be great. Also, dealing with people who are more than likely going to be up for great discussions. You know, that up to date. What's up to date? What's in the news? And also, also probably have an optimistic attitude as well.
Okay, and when you say corporate communications, is that a euphemism for something that I just don't know about, or is that a field? I'm sorry for my ignorance, but I just don't know.
Yeah, that would be like internal communication within a corporate setting.
Okay.
So, yeah, it would be a
okay, and so it doesn't particularly matter the field. It's more the type of company that you want to work in. Okay. Okay, great. So if you knew that it was going to work. If I could wave my magic wand, and it's not getting too much use today, actually, so I probably have a few wishes left in there. If I could wave my magic wand, and you knew that with my magic wand, it would guarantee that you were going to succeed, but you had to do the stuff. It's just that when you did it, it would work. What would you do? What would be the next actions?
It would be meeting with corporate presidents. It would be meeting with company presidents or VPs.
Okay, so now that I know that that wouldn't be the next action, because in order to get those meetings, you have to make arrangements.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, knowing that it's going to work, I've already guaranteed with my magic wand that it's going to work, but you just have to go through the steps, because it's kind of half magic. You know, I can guarantee the result, but you still have to go through all the actions.
Mm-hmm.
So what would be the next action to begin setting up the meetings with the corporate VPs and presidents?
Talk to the secretaries or executive assistants.
Okay. Now do you have a list of companies already?
I have a general list.
Okay. So do you want to just go through the general list, you know, A to Z, or do you want to do some filtering first?
Well, I know one of them is Allegiant. I know there's an opening there in Vegas.
So again, what you're suffering from,
uh-huh.
And I can feel the suffering, okay, is what I call premature practicality.
Hmm.
Is you're looking for opportunities that are already there.
You're right.
Because what's the point of going somewhere if I don't know that there's an opportunity? Well, the point is, sometimes you can create an opportunity by showing up. And because everybody else is doing what you had been doing up until this phone call, which is trying to find the opportunities that are already there, if you do it this way, instead of you having to go up against however many people tend to go for these jobs, it's just you. So there's a real possibility of creating something, and if you do create it, it's going to be you that they're going to bring in, because nobody else even knows about it, because it didn't exist till you created it.
Wow.
So would you be willing to go through your list, and if you want to filter it down a bit, filter it down, mm-hmm. and start phoning secretaries?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I absolutely can do that.
Okay. That is all you need to do, because the next conversation we would have would simply be, okay, now that I've done that, this is where I am now. Now I've got 3 interviews. What do I do next? Well, I prepare for them. Okay, I've prepared for them. Now what do? I show up. Okay, I've shown up. Now what do? I talk to them. In other words, as long as you stay with what your job is in the present, it's easy. It's simple. What makes it hard is when we project out into the future and either try to predict that future or prevent a future we don't want, or when we try and go six steps ahead. All you have to do today, your job today, what you are getting paid for today, is going through your list and making a few phone calls. That's it. That makes sense?
That makes perfect sense.
You can do that, can't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I can definitely do that.
Rock on.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Isabel.
Thanks.
All right. Let's go to Florida. I haven't been to Florida yet today. Maureen, welcome to the show. What can I do for you?
Oh, a little static there. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Yes. Hi. My question originally was, when is it time to throw in the towel? How do you know you've done enough?
2 p.m. on Tuesday.
Pardon?
2 p.m. on Tuesday.
2 p.m. on Tuesday. But as I was sitting and listening, I said, you know what? I don't want to give up. I'm not going to give up. And I'm just going to keep on keeping on. And I've gotten a lot of my questions answered just by being on the phone. I did enjoy your three obstacles of wealth last year. You talked about, at that time, a new skill set. And one of the examples you gave was when getting a puppy, what are you going to do? You're going to go get a coach. You're going to get a book. You're going to learn how to train this puppy. Well, that's exactly what I do for a living. That prompted me to email you to ask you if you wanted to be involved in something that I was doing with Webcast. And I spoke with your managing director, Michelle, and you said yes. And I kind of pretty much let that ball drop. That was about a year ago.
I was going to say you must have done, because I have no memory of this at all.
I just said, well, life got in the way. But, you know, I'm always doing something because I'm a woof coach. You're a super coach. I'm a woof coach. And I cannot give this up. You know, I've trained dogs for a long time, speaker, and at libraries, shelters, kind of clubs, and working with all sorts of with dogs. And recently I was just invited to troubleshoot training teams with forensic dogs, which is like a new thing.
It's amazing. You know, I have, you know, living in Hollywood, I have clients who have neurotic dogs, as you would in Hollywood. And it is phenomenal what they pay to have these dogs, you know, trained properly. And sometimes it even works.
That's funny. Well, I guess, no, as you're saying, what is it that you want? You're saying to the other people, what could you have? And I guess I should probably be quiet now since you're the coach. And just from the information that I have given you so far, I guess I'm looking for advice.
Okay. So, and the thing that's going to make it a little bit difficult for me to give it to you is, well, no, it's not going to. I'm going to do this differently. Because I was going to say is I don't really yet know where you're stuck. But let's not even go there. Let's not even worry about where you're stuck.
Oh, goody.
Because the difficulty isn't in, oh, I'm stuck here, so I need this to unstick myself. The difficulty had been, up until this phone call, up until you start listen to the show, that you thought being stuck meant give up.
Well, I've been stuck many times, and every time I think I'm stuck, I'm down for the count, I just say, no, I cannot give this up. This is a lifelong passion, so... Was it something that you said? Probably.
Oh, yeah, I'll take credit for it. I mean, don't get me wrong. But my actual point is actually, Maureen, I think you're not stuck anymore.
I'm not stuck. I know. Well, okay.
So my advice is for you to, when you get off the phone with me, to take 5 minutes to listen to yourself. If you want to journal out some thoughts about what to do, because I can tell that they're there. They're already there. And that will be where your next step comes from.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. I'll email you again to ask you again if you'd like to play.
I look forward to it. All right. Take care, Maureen.
Thank you.
Thank you. We are just about out of time. Next week, my guest is going to be Dr. Richard Bandler, the founder of Neurolinguistic Programming. And we're going to be talking about just some of the weird and wacky stories from his life and some of the things that he's helped people do. If you like the kind of things we talk about on the show, please check out www.geniuscatalyst.com. You can join the Solutions Cafe or sign up for the free tips and watch the free videos and just have fun and learn heaps. And until next week, have fun and learn heaps. Bye-bye for now. Talk to you soon.